Hey, welcome back to Project Independence and You. I'm Rebecca Miller, your host of the show for today, along with co-host David Linden.
Here I am.
And our first guest, Ellie Moskowitz. Ellie is an optician. And we're learning some interesting information. Ellie's practice is in Albertson. It is In Focus Eyewear. And Ellie, is it okay if I give out your phone number? Because I think it's important that people have options and could reach you if need be from this.
I love helping people, and anytime I can help people, that's my role in life.
Okay, so it's 516-248-0414. I see you also have a website, which is infocusoptician.com. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the show, Christina and I and David will be doing Talk of the Town, so we will definitely give out your information again. A lot of times we have to say it a few times.
But awesome.
During the break, we were talking a little bit about what the differences are between being an optician, an optometrist, an ophthalmologist. Could you break that down a little bit for us?
Yes. In the industry, it's called the three O's. On the top of the evolutionary food chain are the ophthalmologists, which are MDs, medical doctors who went through the entire training and then took additional training to specialize in everything to do with the eye. They do surgery, they diagnose, they treat diseases. And they are the experts. Optometrists, which are square in the middle, was a profession that never even existed at one time. It was basically opticians and ophthalmologists. The eye exam portion, which comes up with a prescription to correct your vision, is called a refraction. Opticians used to do refractions, and then at some point or another, when an optician decided to charge for the refraction, they basically became optometrists, optometrists. They're measuring the refractive error of the eyes. And that was the role. Eventually, optometrists wanted to expand their scope of practice to look inside the eye and look at the condition of the retina, which is the only place in the human body where you can actually see blood vessels and arteries without making any incisions. You can actually tell if a person has systemic diseases by looking at the conditions of the retina. If a person has diabetic retinopathy, it looks almost like patches of cotton, white cotton in the back of the eye. And before the person even knows that they have problems, by looking in the person's eye, you can tell that they have diabetes and do the proper intervention. Same thing with hypertension. The blood vessels in the back of the eye sort of look like branches on a tree, and they're generally smooth, but if they are twisted, overly twisted, which is called tortuosity, that is an indication of hypertension, high blood pressure. Another thing that can be mitigated just by having your annual eye exam, which is why it's important to have your eyes examined once a year without fail. It's the best thing to safeguard your health in general, just by having an eye exam, and you can have things detected that would otherwise go undetected. Glaucoma is another condition where the fluid inside the eye, which is constantly being formed and also drained, if there's something that prevents that fluid from being draining, fluid pressure builds up inside the eye, which presses on the optic nerve, which eventually causes loss of the visual field, the outer visual field, your peripheral vision, and you start getting tunnel vision, and it closes down, and you can actually go blind as a result of undiagnosed glaucoma. Again, get your eyes examined, people, once a year.
I mean, it really makes such sense because you can, no pun intended, but see so much.
Exactly.
From just looking in someone's eye.
Yep.
And then, I really don't... Personally, I never really thought of going to the optometrist once a year. Now that I need glasses, but it really is so important.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not a sudden change. It's a creeping, slow change that people are unaware of.
Right. What I'd like to talk about eye conditions, but first I want to finish describing my profession, which is being an optician, opticianry. Now, my field of expertise is in optics itself. What happens to light as it goes through a lens, whether it's made out of glass or plastic or other materials that are available? And The eyeball itself, think of the eyeball as a camera. You have a lens in front of the camera. The aperture in the lens, which is the iris, the colored portion of your eye, which you have a beautiful colored iris, may I say?
Oh, thank you.
And the hole in the eye is the pupil. The light travels through the curved cornea, through the pupil and the iris. Inside the eye, there's an additional lens. It's called the crystalline lens. There are muscles surrounding that crystalline lens, which, unbeknownst to you, are working 24/7 to push and pull on that crystalline lens, which causes it to change shape to enable you to refocus from a far object to a near object. The crystalline lens sometimes develops opacities, which are called cataracts. And eventually, that crystalline lens, which becomes too dirty, has to be removed. The back of the eye, the back surface of the eye, is called the retina. That is analogous to the film in a camera. So for everything to work perfectly, to have clear vision, you have to have a clear, healthy cornea, which is the curved window in the front of your eye. Gesundheit, Dave. The crystalline lens also has to be clear and free of any opacities. And, of course, the condition of the retina has to be clear and free of any disease and pathology. And then, of course, that signal gets sent via the optic nerve to the brain. The eye receives the signal. The brain interprets what the eye is receiving. And that's vision. Pretty cool, right?
And your job is to...
Well, my job is to take the prescriptions written by an ophthalmologist or an optometrist and then interpret that prescription, what it's for, and then basically interview the patient, find out what their visual lifestyle requirements are. Everybody has hobbies. Everybody has occupations. Let's say somebody drives for a living. They have to have the sharpest distance acuity. Let's say somebody is a proofreader. So then the emphasis is going to be on their reading. And these days, everybody's looking at their smartphones and looking at computer screens, which is sort of like a near focusing point and an intermediate focal distance. So there are different glasses that are really designed for different purposes. The right tool for the right job is what it is. And my job as an optician is to basically offer the proper solutions for their visual needs. And of course, I have to blend that with the aesthetic requirements of the person, which is the designer frames or different sizes, shapes, colors, and so on. And I also have to blend that with the anatomical physical requirements. The glasses have to be comfortable.
What you're doing...
It's a blending of art and science.
Right. You're interpreting the optometrist or the ophthalmologist's prescription, which is merely describing, as I understand, there's a vision problem here. You have to interpret that prescription to fit the lifestyle of the person. To say somebody has 20/200 is just a number. Why do they need certain glasses to fit their lifestyle with that 20/200 vision?
Okay.
Am I correct in that?
Well, what that number is, 20/200, or the more commonly used 20/20, that's called the visual acuity. That's what the person is capable of seeing. Say, without correction, or hopefully with correction, they could be corrected to 20/20. That's the benchmark. There's an eye chart called a Snellen chart. And 20/20 simply means that a person 20 feet away from the eye chart can see what a person is supposed to see 20 feet away. 20/40 means that a person has to be seated 20 feet away from the chart that a quote-unquote normal person could see 40 feet away from the chart, and so on and so on. For a person to be able to drive legally in New York State, you have to have a visual acuity of 20/40 or better in one or both eyes. It's not really that high a requirement, which is kind of worrisome to me, but hey.
You know what, Christine? I think we're going to have Ellie do a presentation to one of our Project Independence committees or groups, because this is really interesting information and important for seniors to know that they really need to get their eyes checked annually. And not wear older glasses. I see a lot of times that people just don't get their prescriptions changed. I know I've had to do it every year. Every year my eyes are changing. So it's really important to.
It's called evolution.
Yeah.
As I said before, and I think I'm correct in that, so many of these conditions are slow creeping conditions, and you're not aware. For instance, you mentioned glaucoma. It was discovered that I have a slight tendency toward glaucoma. I'm being treated for that.
Glaucoma has no symptoms. You don't feel any pain.
Yeah.
And the only way it could be detected is through an eye exam. Now, if a person develops cataracts, which, to remind you, is the opacity in the internal crystalline lens of the eye, it's a gradual, well, it's sort of like, okay, you bought a pair of shoes, and as you wear the shoes, the heels are wearing out. But you don't know that the heels are wearing out. All of a sudden, if you put on a new pair of shoes with the same style, with new heels, it would feel entirely different. You did not notice the gradual change and wearing out. Best analogy I could come up with at the moment, so.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we're coming down to about a minute and a half now. And that, Ellie, that's your day job, right?
That's my day job.
So Ellie is also in a Rolling Stones cover band.
Rock and roll.
Street Fighter. We don't have a lot of time, but quickly, I'd like to know how, you know, when did you start playing the guitar?
Oh, God. I bought my first electric guitar with Uncle Harry's Bar Mitzvah check when I was 13. So there you go. As far as a Street Fighter, we formed the band in like 1978, right after that Broadway show Beatlemania.
Oh.
And I figured that that was we wanted to have our answer to Beatlemania because really the two major bands in the 60s were the Beatles and the Stones. One could argue that point, I suppose. But those were the two biggies, you know. And that was the idea, to form a show playing music in chronological order, costume changes, the different time periods in their career.
Well, I've seen you guys play. We have about 40 seconds left. You've got a lot of gigs set up going forward. You have a website, StreetFighterStonesBand.com.
That's it. And Facebook pages.
And Facebook page, Street Fighter. What's your find you on Facebook?
Street Fighter Tribute Band Fans, something like. You know, I created the pages. I don't even remember. But if you get on the our website, the StreetFighterStonesBand.com, is direct links to the Facebook pages.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll look that up during the break and confirm with Talk of the Town. Ellie, it's wonderful having you on the program.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's over. In Focus Eyewear, please give them a call, and we'll be back soon.